نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واعلموا أنما غنمتم من شيء فإن لله خمسه وللرسول ولذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل إن كنتم آمنتم بالله وما أنزلنا على عبدنا يوم الفرقان يوم التقى الجمعان والله على كل شيء قدير. And know that whatever of poor booty you may gain, indeed one-fifth of it is assigned to Allah and to the Messenger and to the near relatives and also the orphans, the poor and the traveler, if you have believed in Allah and in that which we have sent down to our slave on the day of criterion, on the day when the two forces met, and Allah is able to do all things. Now you might remember that Surah Anfal started with the words, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ. They ask you about the distribution of war booty. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers that question, that whatever war booty the Muslims were to gain, one-fifth of it would be assigned to Allah and the Messenger. Now what exactly is meant by it being assigned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He told the Muslims, the gist of which was, that these bounties are for you, except one-fifth for myself, and that too will be used for you. Because he spent all that, he gave all that away in sadaqah, and we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never keep anything for himself. He'd give everything away. And he warned them, so keep nothing back, not even a needle. Because we've read earlier on the punishment of stealing even something as trivial as a chadar from the war booty. Whenever people rob from national treasuries or they take money from public trusts or things that belong to a group of people, then the sin for that is much greater. Allah says, if you have believed in Allah and in that which we have sent down to our slave on the day of criterion. What day was this? The day of the Battle of Badr, the first battle fought between the Muslims and the Kuffar. Now you'll have noticed how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is again and again telling us not to compartmentalize deen. Like some people we find who earn huge amounts of haram money. They know that they're cheating. They know that they're being dishonest in business. Yet somehow they can reconcile it with their conscience. These same people will be going for Umrah every year. But they're also cheating others in business matters. And they give vast amounts of sadqat. And they think that that's all right. Allah says, In kuntum amantum billah. Iman does not allow such hypocrisy. A Muslim is a Muslim in all spheres of his life. Udkhulu fi silmi kafa. Enter into submission fully. Whether in your business matters, whether in your marital relations, whether in your personal interactions with people, and whether in your spiritual matters. And Allah is able to do all things. And remember, when you, the Muslim army, were on the near side of the valley, and they were on the farther side, and the caravan on the ground lower than you, even if you had made a mutual appointment to meet, you would certainly have failed in the appointment. But you met that Allah might accomplish a matter already ordained, so that those who were to be destroyed might be destroyed after clear evidence, and those who were to live might live after a clear proof. Whenever we read the account of the Battle of Badr, it fills us with hope. It fills us with encouragement that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could save the Muslims against such overwhelming odds, 313 Muslims fighting their first battle against 1,000 odd kuffar, it fills us with hope and inspiration. Allah says this battle was fought so that those who were to live might live after a clear proof. What proof is that? What clear evidence is this? كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّا أَنَا وَرُسُلِي إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. Allah has decreed that I and my messengers will prevail. Indeed Allah is almighty, all-powerful. And when we analyze the other battles, some which the Muslims won, some which the Muslims lost, we find that when they lost, it was when they disobeyed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as happened in the Battle of Uhud. When the archers were led by their love of wealth to run down and desert their posts, that's when the Muslims lost. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to tell us, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَسَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah is all-hearer, all-knower. He can hear whatever claims we're making. Like people who love to claim how much they love Islam, how much they love Allah. Allah says, Al-Aleem. Allah knows the truth of what's really in your heart. And remember, when Allah showed them to you, a few in your dream, if He had shown them to you as many, you would surely have been discouraged, and you would surely have disputed in making a decision. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ سَلَّمَا But Allah saved you. Indeed, He is the All-Knower of what is in the hearts of men. And remember, when you met, He showed them to you as few in your eyes, and He made you appear as few in their eyes, so that Allah might accomplish a matter already ordained, and to Allah return all matters for decision. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِئَةً فَاثْبُتُوا وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ O you who have Iman, O you who claim to be Muslims, when you meet an enemy force, stand firm against them. Don't show cowardice. Don't be daunted or intimidated by their numbers or by their superior power or by their superior weapons. Stand firm against them. وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا And remember Allah much, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ In order that you may succeed. Islam, we find, is a beautiful combination of tadbir and tawakkul. In other words, Allah doesn't teach us that just remember Allah and Allah will save you. Allah says, no, you do what you can, then trust in me. Like the man who entered the mosque and told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oh, I've left my camel loose because I'm trusting in Allah. He said, no, اَقَلْ وَتَوَكَّلْ First tie your camel, then trust in Allah. This is the positive belief in destiny that we Muslims hold. Not that we sit back and say, well, Allah's going to do whatever He wants to do, so what's the point of my trying? That we achieve whatever we can to the best of our ability, and then we trust in Allah. And then we know that ultimate victory and defeat will come from Allah. Remember the name of Allah much in order that you may succeed. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ And obey Allah and His Messenger. Again, Allah repeats, and His Messenger. Otherwise, Allah could have simply said, obey Allah. But by saying and obey His Messenger, that shows us the importance of Sunnah. وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا And do not dispute with one another. What is the greatest cause of Muslim decline? Sectarian differences. We're so busy fighting amongst ourselves, we don't even have time to think of fighting the enemy. Do not dispute with one another, lest you lose courage and your strength departs. وَاصْبِرُوا And be constant. The three aspects of sabr, to be constant in good deeds, to be constant in abstaining from evil, and to be patient at times of difficulty. And we Muslims have done none of these. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ Indeed Allah is with those who are patient. Now we've learned of the positive nature of patience, where you're doing something. You're doing something to defend yourself, not that you're sitting back and saying, when Allah wishes, then only can this Muslim Ummah be saved. Do not be like those who come out of their homes boastfully to be seen by men and hinder men from the path of Allah. And Allah is encompassing all that they do. Now, we find that in ayat 45 and 47, Allah gives us two different pictures. One is a picture of the mu'mineen who are fighting against the enemy with constancy, with courage, and remembering Allah. They're not flaunting their own arrogance. They're not thinking that if we win, it's because of our own courage. They're remembering Allah. So they're fighting with courage, yet with humility. Then Allah gives us an example of those who come out of their homes arrogantly. Who were these? This is actually a reference to the kuffar, because when they came to fight for the battle of Badr, they were completely convinced that they were going to win. So they came with dancing girls, and they brought wine with them. And all route, any caravan that they'd pass, they'd have these boastful functions whereby they'd be, you know, all strutting around and saying, oh, we're going to wipe these Muslims off the face of this earth. What was the difference between them? That the kuffar were doing it to wipe the Muslims off the face of this earth. They were not doing it for Allah. And the Muslims were doing it for Allah. So Allah says, don't be like those who come out of their homes boastfully to be seen by people, to impress people, and hinder men from the path of Allah. Allah is encompassing all that they do. And remember, when Shaitan made their evil deeds seem fair to them, and he said, none of mankind can overcome you this day, and indeed, I am your neighbor. Now this was Shaitan inciting the kuffar to further arrogance, to further rebellion, and encouraging them and saying, yes, definitely you'll win. And if you remember, we read in the story of Adam and Hawa alayhi salam, this is how he traps people by pretending to be their well-wisher. What did he tell them? Inni lakuma lamina nasihin. I am for both of you, for both you, Adam and Eve. I am one of the well-wishers. I'm giving you sincere advice. So what happened? But when the two forces came in sight of each other, he ran away and said, Indeed, I have nothing to do with you. Indeed, I see what you do not see. Inni akhafu Allah, wallahu shadidul iqab. Indeed, I fear Allah, for Allah is severe in punishment. Now Allah is teaching us something very important here, that shaitan is essentially a coward. See, this is what will happen on the Day of Judgment as well. When the people that he's made false promises to in the world will come up to him and say, Well, now you help us. He'll say, No, I made a promise to you and I broke my promise. And when Allah made his promise to the believers, he fulfilled his promise. So Allah is warning us in advance that he's unreliable, he's treacherous, he's a coward. So he didn't support the kuffar at that point. When the hypocrites and those in whose hearts was a disease of disbelief said, These Muslims are deceived by their religion. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a complete analysis of this battle. Now you'll notice Allah is not talking as much about the battle as about the people who were taking part in the battle, the people who were living around the Muslims. So on one side the Muslims were facing the enemy who was trying to annihilate them. And on the other hand we have the hypocrites who were doing their best to discourage the Muslims. When we too set out in the path of Allah, we have many people, many well-wishers who come up and say, Are you sure you should be doing this? You know, your family comes first. Why don't you spend some time with your parents? Why don't you spend some time with your children? That's more important. That's what you'll be asked about. So in the same way, these hypocrites were trying to weaken the believers, to discourage them. What would they say? These people are deceived by their religion. When we try and obey Allah fully, what do we people say? She's gone mad. She's obsessed by religion. She's become a fanatic. So Allah says, مَنْ يَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ Whoever puts his trust in Allah, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ Allah is almighty, all wise. Why hasn't Allah said غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ over here? Allah is reminding us that it's in Allah we should trust rather than weak-hearted cowards like the hypocrites who do their best to discourage us. When we want to set out in the path of Allah, we should pray to Allah for help. We should trust that Allah will see me through this, not fall prey to the insecurities that other people try and put in us. Inna Allaha Azizun. He is Almighty. He can achieve what He wills. What can these hypocrites do for us? Hakim, all wise. Walau tara. And if only you could see. Now this is a very crucially important ayat. Allah is giving us a vision which we cannot ordinarily see. If only you could see when the angels take away the souls of those who disbelieve. They smite their faces and their backs, saying, ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ Taste the punishment of the burning fire. This is because of that which your hands had forwarded, and Allah is not unjust to His slaves. Now what exactly does this ayat mean? First we need to focus on the word kafaru. There are different categories of kufr. We think to ourselves complacently, Oh, I'm a Muslim, I'm not a kafir, I believe in Allah, I believe in the Day of Judgment, I read my prayers, I give sadaqah. One definition of kufr, the satanic kufr, is when we disobey Allah. What did shaitan do to be expelled from Jannah? Did he say, I don't believe in Allah? Did he say, I don't believe in the Day of Judgment, or I don't believe in the Prophet? No. He said, I'm not going to obey Allah. Aba, he refused. Wastakbara, he was arrogant. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ Allah says the sequence of events was when he refused to obey Allah, when he became arrogant, thus logically he became of those who disbelieve, because disbelief means disobedience. And that's one form of kufr. Now Allah says, if you could see when the angels take away the souls of those who have been disbelieving, they will be striking their faces in their backs, saying, Taste the punishment of the burning fire. Now please highlight this ayat as a proof of the azab of the grave. People doubt the azab of the grave and they say, well, where is it said in the Quran that there is an azab in the grave? This is the ayat which proves it. The first thing we need to understand is that the word qabr is used metaphorically, because people often, you know, raise this objection, well, what if someone's cremated? Or what if someone dies in a plane crash? Or what if someone's drowned at sea? Or what if someone is just blown up in a bomb blast? What about them? They're not buried in any qabr. The word qabr is used metaphorically. Even their ashes have to ultimately settle down to earth. Even if someone's been drowned, they are returning to this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, the angels will be striking their faces and back saying, Taste the punishment of the burning fire. What fire is this? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, the grave is either a garden amongst the gardens of Jannah, or a pit amongst the pits of hell. In other words, once we die, we get a preview of what our future life is going to be like. Although judgment will not have been passed, still we get to understand what's going to happen to us. And we find proof of this in the Quran itself, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَحَاقَ بِآلِ فِرْعَوْنَ سُوءُ الْعَذَابِ النَّارِ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًا وَعَشِيًّا, and has surrounded the people of Pharaoh an evil torment, the fire. They are presented upon it day and night. Now you might wonder to yourself, but Pharaoh drowned. He was embedded. So what fire is this? This is the Great Azab. There's a hadith which illustrates this very vividly, where the Prophet ﷺ told us, when a believing slave is buried, the grave says to him, welcome, you were the most beloved to me of all those who walk upon my back. Today you have been entrusted to me, you have come to me, and you will see my behavior towards you. And then the grave will expand, it will become spacious, and a door leading to Jannah will open for that person. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, he went on to say, when a sinful person, when a sinner, one who's disobeying Allah, or a kafir enters the grave will say, I do not welcome you. You were the most hated by me of all who live on my back. Today you have been entrusted to me, and you have come to me, and you shall see my behavior to you. And the grave will constrict upon him until his ribs are crushed against one another. That's why we should read, Allahumma ajirna min an-nar, na'uzu bika min azab al-qabr. Allah says, why will they be punished thus in the grave? Does that seem harsh or unfair? This is because of that which your own hands had sent ahead. When a man dies and people ask, what did he leave behind? How many houses? And the angels ask, what has he sent ahead? What do we take with us to our grave? Our clothes? Our houses? Our children? Nothing. Nothing but that shroud of white cloth. Nothing but the good deeds we might have sent ahead. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِالظَّلَّامِ لِلْعَبِيدِ. When you read this ayat, you're filled with fear. So Allah reassures us, Allah is not unjust to His slaves. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. If you have done an atom of goodness, Allah will show that to you as well. Similar to the behavior of the people of Pharaoh and those before them, they rejected the signs of Allah, so Allah punished them for their sins. See, some people just like to think of Allah as love. Oh, He's just love. He's just Ghafoorur Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us both in the Quran. We find He is Ghafoorur Rahim, yet He is also Al-Qahhar, where He will reward those who believe and do good deeds. He will also punish those who have sinned against Him. Indeed, Allah is all-strong, severe in punishment. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُ مُغَيِّرًا نِعْمَةً أَنْعَمَهَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. This is so because Allah will never change a grace which He has bestowed on a people until they change what is in their own selves. And indeed Allah is all-hearer, all-knower. Muslims nowadays lament, what have we done wrong? Why doesn't Allah turn to us in mercy? Look at Muslims suffering all over the world. What's wrong? Doesn't Allah care about us anymore? Allah is telling us quite plainly, if you want to change your own condition, if you want Allah to change your condition for you, then change yourself first. See, how has Allah defined the Muslim Ummah in the Quran? كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You Muslims are the best of nations, taken out for all mankind. So how come we're not global benefactors? How come we're regarded as terrorists, as fundamentalists, as world losers? Because Allah went on to tell us, when we'll become خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ, when we enjoin that which is right, when we forbid that which is wrong, وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, and when we do it all for Allah's sake. If we're not doing any of these three tasks, then there's no way we can become khaira ummatin. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah can hear the claims that we're making, the complaints that we utter daily. Alim. He knows the truth of the situation. He knows exactly how lazy the Muslim ummah has become. Similar to the behavior of the people of Fir'aun and those before them, they denied the signs of their Lord. How do we deny the signs of our Lord? There are different ways. I can say, well, I don't believe in this ayat of the Quran. And I can just shrug my shoulders and not act upon this ayat of the Quran. Both are forms of denial. Even if I'm saying outwardly, oh, I believe in the Quran, Sadaqallahu al-Azim, kissing the Quran, placing it on the highest shelf. But if I'm not acting upon it, I'm denying the signs of the Quran. So we destroyed them for their sin. And we drowned the people of Fir'aun. for they were all zalimeen. Who is a zalim? Someone who doesn't give someone their right, grants that right to someone else. Who has the greatest right upon us? Ma qadarullaha haqqa qadrihi. Every day we say la ilaha illallah, and then we do whatever we feel like doing, regardless of whether Allah wants us to do that or not. Allah tells us, ma qadarullaha haqqa qadrihi. They just did not appreciate Allah. They did not value Allah as was His right. Inna sharra dawwabi indallah alladhina kafaru. Indeed, the worst of living creatures before Allah are those who disbelieve. So they shall not believe. They are those with whom you made a covenant, but they break their covenant every time. Wahum la yattaqun, and they do not fear Allah. This refers to the Jewish alliance made by the Muslims when the Muslims entered Medina, and there were three Jewish tribes already living there. So they made a pact which is known as Mithaq-e-Madina. And the terms of the pact was that they would live together in friendship and not fight against each other and so on. But the Jews broke that pact. So Allah tells us, if you gain the mastery over them in war, punish them severely in order to disperse those who are behind them so that they may learn a lesson. The Muslim is being taught an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If someone is oppressing you, fight back. Don't turn the other cheek. And if you fear treachery from any people, throw back their covenant to them so as to be on equal terms. Certainly Allah does not love the treacherous. Now this is an international law being stated over here, that if you have an alliance with any country or with any state and you fear treachery on their behalf, then have the courage of your convictions that openly break that covenant. Not that you also pretend that the covenant is continuing and you're both trying to trick each other. There's no such deceit in Islam. Openly break the covenant if you fear that they're deceiving you. And then Allah warns us, Allah does not love the treacherous. In other words, we're not allowed to cheat even the non-Muslims. Like some Muslims erroneously believe, oh yes, we can cheat the Jews or we can cheat the Christians. Allah does not love the treacherous. اِعْدِلُوا بِي جَسْ هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Because that is nearer to Allah consciousness. We have to speak the truth wherever we are and with whomsoever we are dealing. And let not those who disbelieve think that they can escape from the punishment. Indeed, they will never be able to save themselves. وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَّ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوَّكُمْ وَآخَرِينَ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَهُمْ اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُهُمْ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ. Make ready against them all that you have of power, of energy, whether atomic or any other sort, including steeds of war, to threaten the enemy of Allah and your enemy and others besides whom you may not know, but whom Allah does know. And whatever you spend in the cause of Allah shall be repaid to you, and you shall not be treated unjustly. Now this is a very important ayat because it's teaching the Muslims how to defend themselves. It's teaching the Muslims how to become world powers that are to be reckoned with. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying just sit in one corner and remember me and then I'll grant you these angels who'll come and fight for you. No. أَعِدُّ لَهُمْ. Prepare for them against your enemies all that you have of power, of energy, including steeds of war. Now people read Al-Khayl and they start mocking the Quran. And they say, oh look, the Quran is telling us to get ready our horses, and how can we win a war with horses these days? That's because of the ignorance of the Arabic language. Khayl literally actually represents transport. It does not literally mean a horse. It means whatever means of transport is the fastest, is the swiftest, is the most effective. Otherwise Allah could have said, get ready your camels. Because in those days, they used camels more than horses. So why didn't Allah say, use your camels? Because this Quran is not outdated. This Quran is a book till the end of time. So Allah says, including steeds of war. In other words, whatever powerful means of transport you may find, whatever is most effective, move with the times. To threaten the enemy of Allah and your enemy. We have this concept of deen. We want it to be just love, just turning the other cheek, just forgiveness. But the rest of the world isn't like that, as we've seen for ourselves. Allah says you need this power to threaten the enemy of Allah, to strike awe in their hearts. And others besides whom you may not know, but whom Allah does know. As when the Quran, Allah also tells us, والخيل والبغال والحمار لتركبوها وزينة ويخلق ما لا تعلمون. While speaking of the animals whom Allah has created so that they can transport us around, Allah says, and the horse and the donkey, so that you may ride them, and as a beauty, and He will create that which you do not even know. Now 1400 years ago, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ were being told this. يَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Anything that can happen, any new invention that comes across, Allah has already predicted it. He will create that which you have no knowledge of, which you can't even dream of. And Allah says, and whatever you spend off in the path of Allah, يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ shall be repaid to you. We have a limited concept of sadqa. We think of a sadqa and we give some money to a mosque maybe, or to a madrasa maybe, or we, you know, give money for qurbani and we think we've given a lovely sadqa. Allah is saying even this, spending in self-defense, spending to protect yourself, to protect Islam from the enemy, that too is fi sabilillah. How did the Prophet ﷺ define fi sabilillah? He said, whoever fights so that the word of Allah is uppermost, فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, that is in the path of Allah. يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ, and you will not be wronged, either by people or in the hereafter. Obviously, if we Muslims were a world power today, nobody would dare to do what they're doing to the Muslims today. But if they incline to peace, you also incline to it. Islam is not an aggressive religion. It doesn't say that go around becoming world tyrants or world aggressors. If they incline to peace, you also incline to it. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and put your trust in Allah. Indeed, Allah is the all-hearer, the all-knower. And if they intend to deceive you, then indeed Allah is all-sufficient for you. He it is who has supported you with His help and with the believers. وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ, and Allah has united their hearts. لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ, if you had spent all that is in the earth, you could not have united their hearts, but Allah has united them. We find, if you study Arab history, that the Arabs were prone to fighting at the slightest provocation. They would have long wars that extended over hundreds of years, literally, over a trivial insult offered by one person to another. What happened to make these people join together in such love and harmony? What gave these people such love that they could literally sacrifice their lives for one another, lay down their homes in the service of another? Allah says, Allah united their hearts. Now Allah is giving us a message here. Islam should not simply be a military power, it should also be a stronghold of unity and harmony. What is Islam today? Neither are we world powers, and we're certainly not at all united. Allah says, Allah has united them. How did Allah unite them? By means of this book. We have this book here today as well, but we're too busy squabbling about whether we raise our hands for Allahu Akbar or not, to think about deeper issues. And Allah warns us, إِنَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ, Allah is Almighty, All-Wise. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ حَسْبُكَ اللَّهُ وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, a beautiful ayat. O Prophet, Allah is enough for you and for those believers who follow you. Not for the believers, for those believers who follow you. The importance of sunnah. How much do we know of the sunnah in our lives? How much of the sunnah do we implement in our lives? Allah says, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't just rely on military power. Again, Allah is stressing that, O mu'mineen, develop your military power, develop your strength, but don't fall into the mistake of relying exclusively upon that strength. Ultimate victory and defeat come from Allah. مَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, victory comes only from Allah.